It's time now for Bucks Blue with your host, Lower Makefield Chief of Police, Joe Kelly, brought to you by Jammer Doors.
And welcome to Bucks Blue, July 2025, midsummer show of Bucks Blue on 107.3 FM, 1490 AM, WBCB out of Levittown. Stephen, we're going to have a couple of interesting guests on I want to discuss first before we get to today's guests. Next month on Bucks Blue, we'll feature Officer Stephen Markle of the Lower Makefield Township Police Department. Officer Markle is also known as the... Now I'm drawing a blank on his name. The Blue Something. The Blue Shark. The Blue Shark. He's a pool champion, and we're going to talk about... not only his professional career, but the pool career as well, which keeps him very, very busy. Then the following month, I'm going to have on a detective from the British Transport Police. The British Transport Police, unlike transit police departments in the States, there's only about 2.5 dozen police departments in all of the United Kingdom, all of England. So this detective will come on, and we're going to talk about the differences and these commonalities between American policing and British policing. And then probably a month or two after that, we're going to have on some of our new chiefs in Bucks County. And then near the end of the year, I want to have on another detective from England, from the Scotland Yard. So hopefully some interesting guests coming up. But today I wanted to focus a little bit on, we've spoken to a lot of current police officers. We've spoken to a lot of current leaders in policing on this show. They've talked about their journeys. They've talked about starting as teenagers in some cases, as police explorers or police cadets or college students, and then working themselves into the business. They've talked about how something early in their life shaped that journey and how they got involved. We've talked to a number of retired officers who've gone on to distinguished careers and explained the changes in policing over the course of those careers. But today I wanted to take a different shift, and I wanted to talk about people who have not yet entered into policing but are currently matriculating in college and have expressed an interest in that field in some way, shape, or form. So with us today, our guest, I'm going to introduce one of my former students from Bucks County Community College, one of my outstanding former students from Bucks County Community College, Declan McIntyre. I'm going to let him explain a little bit about himself in a second. But he is currently going into his second year, I believe, at Bucks County Community College, where he's studying criminal justice. And our other student comes from New Jersey, because we represent both sides of the river here on WBCB. And that's Elizabeth Kelly. You'll probably recognize that she shares a name with me because she also shares a home with me. Elizabeth is my youngest child, and she is a student at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey, and she is a second semester junior going into this fall, where she's studying sociology and law, and I'll also let her talk a little bit about her journey. But both Declan and Beth have some commonalities. They both grew up with a law enforcement household, and they're going to speak to that and how that helped shape them. But I also want to hear from them today, and we're gonna delve into it a little bit, about how in a time when there's such an anti-policing sentiment in some universities, how there's an anti-policing sentiment in some high schools, and that's not the case in all these universities or all these high schools, but in certain sects there is. So I want to hear from them about how they navigate that career path openly and honestly, in the course of while they're going to school with people who don't believe that's a worthy career path. So with that, welcome Declan.
Thank you very much.
Welcome Elizabeth.
Thank you, Dad.
And can I call you Beth?
Sure can.
Very well. So Declan, I'm going to come to you first, and I'm going to pose this question to both you and Beth, but I'm going to ask you first on this one. Tell me what it was like growing up in a house where your parents were in law enforcement.
It was definitely stressful. I think I'm definitely appreciative because it made me who I am, and it helped shape my view of police work as it is now. But it was definitely stressful. I mean, they say like the divorce rate between cops is high. So I definitely think they had it rough. They were both cops. Not only were they both cops, but they were both cops in the same department. So like they kind of brought work home very often, which I think, I mean, they say you're not supposed to do, but I think they really did a great job of keeping their stress away from us, because obviously with such a high stress job, like being a cop, it's hard. But like I said, I'm definitely appreciative, because I think they shaped me who I am today, and they like kind of helped form my view of police work, and they're the ones who kind of encouraged me most to want to become a police officer and follow in their footsteps.
You have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, one sister, yeah.
Okay.
Younger sister.
And obviously, you touched on something that I think is very real. I've been to a lot of classes on police stress. Stephen and I have spent months, I think, talking about the mental health crisis, not only that police officers have to face out on the street mm-hmm. helping others, but the stresses on police officers that cause mental health crises within our business. We've had a police, we've had a psychologist on here who has specialized in trauma. We've had co-responders on here. We've had a variety of different tasks and professions that help us. So how did you know about that stress if they were doing such a great job hiding it? And how did you know that what they did for a living was different than what most of your friends' parents did for a living?
Well, I think they did just about as good as a job as they could have. I think it's almost impossible not to bring home stress when you're a police officer. Like I said, also, them being in the positions that they were kind of forced to talk about it a lot. So I could kind of tell, because there was a lot of time spent where it was like, all right, mom and dad are going to go talk on the patio. You guys go sit inside, do your thing, kind of a thing. They worked opposite shifts when we were younger, so it was never really mom and dad home together. It was always mom or dad. So that's another way how I always kind of knew, like, this is different. When my friends would be going out with their parents doing this and that, I never really had that, because, like I said, they were always on separate shifts, especially in a place, in the place that they were. There weren't many police officers, like, active there, since it's a smaller township. So, yeah, I mean, that definitely made it harder, and I think that's really what how I knew that it was different, because, like I said, they were never home together, and it was just, yeah.
All right, that's excellent. Beth, why don't we pose it now to you? Tell us what it was like for you growing up with parents in law enforcement.
I think it was definitely, like, a mix of pride but pressure at the same time. Like, I would remember when I was younger, the talks during dinner and you leaving early for work in your uniform and a lot of different things. And I feel like I was always a part of it, as well as my brother, and it kind of shaped us into who we became. Like, obviously, my brother is now a New Jersey Transit police officer, and it definitely shaped us in many different ways, because we heard what went on. Just because you come home and you take the badge off, you take the gun off, it doesn't mean your day's ending. So, yeah.
All right, how did, and I'm going to go back to Dylan now, tell me how your parents' career in law enforcement shaped your view of police work. How did you see policing and police officers as a kid?
Well, I spent a lot of time around police officers. The headquarters was about 2 minutes away from my house, so there were cops in and out of my house every single day without fail, rain, snow, shine, no matter what. So,
did you have a lot of fake uggles?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that goes with
yes,
the business, yeah.
That is for sure, still to this day. So it was cool, because I got to watch my parents be police officers. It's not like they it wasn't present around me. Like I said, they were always I spent a lot of time in headquarters too, actually. So that definitely helped shape my view of what it meant to be a cop as well.
All right, Beth, I'm going to throw this one at you. Tell me about did you feel a sense of pride? Did you feel a sense of regret? How did you feel knowing that you had a parent who was serving the community?
So I think growing up, it was pretty hard for me to understand until I was in about like fourth or fifth grade, where a lot of my parents had moms and dads who were working 9-to-5 jobs at a desk. They would leave in a suit for work, and you know they're coming home at 5 o'clock every day. My experience wasn't like that. there were days you would get home at 5 o'clock and there's days you don't get home till 10 o'clock. We don't always have dinner with you. There's a lot of late nights and missed holidays and things, but I think the rewarding part is if you can't be with us, to me it's a lot more important that you're helping somebody else, so it's very rewarding.
So let's talk a little bit about that scheduling stuff, right? And the fact that, you know, bad guy time is what we operate on. Dylan, I'll come back at you. Was there a time that you felt frustrated that, you know, your mom and dad were working on holidays when other moms and dads weren't?
Most definitely, yeah. Especially being younger, too. It's a hard concept to grasp that, you know, like your mom or dad might not come home at the end of the day. Especially being so young. So, yeah, I was definitely frustrated at times, like I said earlier, especially with my parents for, I'd say up until I was about 14 or 15 years old, never being home together. That sucked. It was maybe once every 2-3 weeks that I got to spend a day with both my parents, and that meant a lot to me when I was younger. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely felt a sense of frustration at times, yeah.
Why don't we take our first break here, and then when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more on that topic.
Insurance can be very confusing and costly. That's why it's very important to choose the right insurance agency. Nottingham Insurance in Yardley and Hamilton is a fourth-generation family-owned insurance agency with over 100 years of experience. They'll find the best policy for maximum protection at the best price. Homeowners, business, life, auto, even flood insurance. Peter Toft at Nottingham Insurance will make getting your policies, including flood insurance, an easy and affordable process. Nottingham Insurance in Yardley and Hamilton. Visit nottinghaminsurance.com or call Peter Toft directly at 215-493-1996, extension 214. That's 215-493-1996. Extension 214. Capital Health's primary care network continues to grow, bringing its extensive option of locations to your neighborhood. Whether you're scheduling a wellness checkup or not feeling well, advanced medicine starts with a Capital Health primary care doctor at locations near you in Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties. To find a Capital Health primary care location that's convenient for you, visit capitalmedicalgroup.org. That's capitalmedicalgroup.org.
We now return to Bucks Blue with Lower Makefield Police Chief Joe Kelly, brought to you by Jammer Doors.
And welcome back to Bucks Blue, WBCB, 1490 AM, 107.3 FM, and of course streaming anywhere in the world via the internet. Today we are in studio with two criminal justice students, two aspiring police officers. And when we left for break, we were talking a little bit about the stresses of growing up as children of police officers, which both of my guests, Declan and Beth, are. And Declan spoke of some of the stress about worrying about your parents. And I, being the son of a police officer, know that as much as you guys do. But Beth, those worries came to fruition one day in your junior year. Can you talk a little bit about those first few moments when that call finally came, what that felt like to you?
I mean, yeah, this is something that just can't be sugarcoated. It was genuinely the worst day of my life, and it's a call that's like very difficult to hear because you never think it's going to happen to you and your family. You always just hear about it in the news and see it on social media, and I'll never forget it. I was standing in my kitchen with my brother. My brother had picked up the phone. We were just about to go down to the hospital and drop off some pastries to the nurses and doctors there, and the look on his face was horrid when you called him for the first time, and he looked at me, and I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I can't tell you. We need to get in the car. We need to go. I'll tell you in a minute." And we went, and when he told me, I dropped everything in my hands, and I was broken, to put it lightly.
And since that time, has it gotten easier for you?
I don't think easier would be the right word. I think you learn to cope with the struggles mentally, but I think I've come intact with my emotions. I felt a lot of anger and sadness and regret and a lot of different things, but now it's more just the fact that you're okay and that the only thing that we can do from here on forward is try and change the stigma around police, and hopefully it gets better one day. There's a lot of negative stigma around police officers.
And we're going to get into that a little bit. But let's talk a little bit about more how the both of you shaped your career goals. Declan, you were originally going to be an electrician.
Yes.
Know that because you were my student and I know you. What turned the boat towards criminal justice?
Well, when I was younger, I always did want to be a cop. And then as time went on, I saw the climate around policing, and my parents even kind of had a little bit of a part in pushing me away from it in a sense where they didn't want me to just because they feared for my safety. So I took up the idea of being an electrician until kind of one day I...
Because that's, you know, why not work with a 10,000 volts?
Yeah, exactly,
instead,
right? Yeah. but I had... I got pretty far in that process, and I had wound up getting denied really later on in the process just because being so young, you know. But to be quite honest, I kind of just felt called one day. One of the things that played kind of a big role in it, too, was I don't like that monotonous idea of working 5 days a week for 8 hours for the rest of my life. I might like that a little bit more as I get older, but right now I like the idea of being a police officer. I think it fits my personality. I hope that I'll be pretty good at it. And like I said, to be honest, what really just drew me away from being an electrician was just like a calling. I honestly felt called from God just to take up that career, to be quite honest with you. No other way to explain it.
And Beth, you were on a crash course for law school. You were going to be a prosecutor. And you were pretty focused on that. So tell us how you took a direction towards policing.
I think when I first made the change, a lot of people outside my bubble but still close to it were very, very shocked, as I love to argue. And I think the people inside my bubble, very close to me, definitely were not shocked, as it's something that's kind of always been in the back of my head. But I kind of just decided within myself that I didn't want to sit in a courtroom and argue all day. I'd rather take a more hands-on approach and talk to people and help people in a more hands-on way.
This is for both of you. If you were going to, and this is an interview question I've used in the past, so if you ever interview with me, you'll have one that I give away to you right now, but I don't really interview anymore. My subordinates do that, so that's, it's a good news, bad news,
fair
right?
Enough.
But if I were to interview you for the job of police officer, one of the things I would ask you is, if you were going to create the model police officer in a laboratory and put all the different skill sets into them that you think they would need to be effective in 2025, what skills do you think they need?
Okay, I think I know this one. I don't have a model word for you, but I think a model police officer to me is listen first, act second. I think a lot of the problems, not just in policing today, is a lot of people, they hear you, but they're not listening. You need to listen, you need to read body language, you need to read the situation. Not every single person is one size fits all. Everyone needs to be treated the same, but treated differently at the same time, and then you need to act from there.
And Dylan, I'm gonna pose that one to
Declan,
you now.
Declan.
I'm sorry. No,
it's all right.
I'm sorry, Declan.
It's all right. I've been letting it go, but I agree with Beth. I was going to say community skills are extremely important. Just like you said, that every person's different, and it's important to learn how to kind of like adjust to people's needs and their personality. I think empathy is a big thing, and critical thinking skills, as well as being able to just be on all the time, because unfortunately, as a police officer, you kind of lose the right to a bad day, in a sense. I think you have to be on all the time, no matter what you're going through. So I think a model police officer is someone that can put aside their emotions and their feelings and really focus on helping others, along with community skills and critical thinking skills.
I think that was an outstanding way to put that. Can you elaborate a little bit on why empathy matters so much?
I think empathy matters because...
And I agree with you, it does, mm-hmm. so I'm not challenging you, but... And I think of the police officers who have problems succeeding in this profession, mm-hmm. that's one of the things they're missing. So, you know, if you could just expand on that a little bit.
I think empathy matters because... I think people do have trouble understanding that everybody does have the right to a bad day, and that I mean, like I said, police officers. But I think everybody has a right to a bad day, and I think it's important to I'm losing my words here. Sorry, you want to take over for me?
I think empathy matters because. You just never know what people are going through behind closed doors. For example, my mom, hi mom, loves to honk at people when she's driving in the car, and something I always say to her is, you know, you don't know where people are coming from. They could be coming from a funeral. They could be coming from the worst day of their life. Like, you don't need to make their day worse. They could have just lost the biggest thing in your life, and you just don't know. So just, you need to spread empathy because... That's how you stay on your eight ball game.
So let's expand on this a little bit, right? You've both done an incredible job, Declan and Beth, explaining the skills that police officers need. Why does a police officer who's not gifted in these areas that makes it through the selection process, why is that so dangerous to the profession?
I think because it can ruin the reputation of cops as a whole. I think especially now with social media, I think that's kind of killed police work in a sense because people love to pick and choose and see what and see one bad thing about police officers and they love to roll with it and then go on and just say that every cop in the world is an awful person, which is just so far from true. And like I said, I think it sucks that social media kind of killed that aspect of policing.
I always live by the phrase that there's a bad apple in every bunch, and I don't think that makes the whole batch sour. So, I mean, I think that applies in, like, almost every profession, but just because one's bad doesn't mean that the rest are bad. I mean, I live with two men who are awesome, so that's what I see. But I know there's bad representation out there, but I think it's... That's another reason why community policing is so important, because a lot of times police officers meet you on the worst day of your life. So when community policing is involved, they get to meet you on a normal day and have a conversation with you and all these different things. So I think that's also really important.
And I think, Declan, we spoke a lot about that in class, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So let's move on a little bit. We'll talk about... And this one may take a while, so we may do a little bit before break and a little bit after. But tell me about your experience when people you go to school with, lifelong friends you've known, right? You guys have lifelong friends. You have neighborhood friends. When you told them that you are going to pursue a career in law enforcement, how was that received?
I think for me it was received pretty well. I mean, like I said, with my parents being police officers in my community, being so close to us, my friends grew up coming around the house and seeing my parents in uniform as well. So they always knew that they were police officers, and my parents were pretty close with all my friends as well. So I think my friends kind of had a feeling that I was going to follow in their footsteps. So for me, it was definitely pretty well received.
Beth?
I think similar but different for me. Like, same thing with my hometown friends especially. Like, they are always very comfortable with it because I would have friends over for dinner and there's two cops from my town walking in to eat with us in uniform. And, like, it definitely, like, breaks the barrier of it's not just a cop. There's a person behind the badge. But I will say I go to Drew University, which is a very small liberal arts school. So what I'm going into... is not really heard of where I go. I don't know many people who are on the same path as me. And it definitely is overwhelming to them when I say it, and I get a lot of negative feedback sometimes, like, girls shouldn't be cops, or it's a male-dominated profession, and things like that. But just because it's not right now doesn't mean that's true. And going back to what I said before, it's just breaking the stigma.
And you're going to come into this business at a time when a lot of people have plowed that path already, right? The department I grew up in, New Jersey Transit PD, had female police officers long before I got there, and they were valuable members of our team. They were leaders. They were frequently among some of my best colleagues. They do hard to replace, and obviously Declan's mom had done this decades ago when it was less prevalent. So people have had the courage to plow forward and allow policing to understand how important it is to have every gender, every race, every religion, every age, a section of the society, so that we can do our job a little bit better. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about your college studies.
Capital Health's primary care network continues to grow, bringing its extensive option of locations to your neighborhood. Whether you're scheduling a wellness checkup or not feeling well, advanced medicine starts with a Capital Health primary care doctor at locations near you in Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties. To find a Capital Health primary care location that's convenient for you, visit capitalmedicalgroup.org. That's capitalmedicalgroup.org.
We now return to Bucks Blue with Lower Makefield Police Chief Joe Kelly, brought to you by Jammer Doors.
And welcome back to Bucks Blue, July 2025, 107.3 FM, 1490 AM, and anywhere in the world on the internet. Today we are in studio here on Bucks Blue with Declan McIntyre and Beth Kelly, both college students who are studying criminal justice and hopefully working towards a career in that field, their chosen field. And before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about the professional paths. I want to talk a little bit now about their college experiences. And we started before break on that, but I want to expand on that a little bit. Declan, tell me about, you're attending a two-year course of study at Bucks County Community College for criminal justice. Tell me a little bit about that program. Tell me about how it's either changed your perspective, reinforced your perspective, or introduced you to some new thoughts.
Well, I started it a little bit late, so I'm only a year in, a semester in, for that matter, actually, so far. But out of the classes that I've taken, your class has definitely helped shape my perspective a lot, especially because I think that it's really important, as someone who is an aspiring police officer, is to hear from people who have been in the business for a long time, such as yourself. And I think your stories and your real-life experience have helped me a lot. I mean, I've obviously received that from my parents and their friends and whatnot over the years, but I think someone like yourself, who's quite a decorated police officer or police chief now, has definitely helped shape my perspective a lot from someone in a different position and even in a different state as well.
All right, excellent. And Beth, tell us about your program and what that's been about.
So I'm a double major in sociology and political science with a minor in law, justice, and society. So I feel like I've definitely dove into quite a few different pools of information, which has been very refreshing. But I would say that it's very well-rounded because of getting my feet into different pools, and I think that's very important. Just because you want to be a police officer doesn't mean you need to go in and just study criminal justice. I think my ethics courses have been the most refreshing because you learn so much about just, like, being a human being and the right morale of things, and I think that that will definitely help me in the long run the most.
And I say this with all due respect for my colleagues and the teaching profession, but for both of you, and this is an open question, how much does a professor make a difference in that course of study you're going through? Beth, you can take this one first.
Absolutely. They make definitely a big difference. I mean, I honestly will never forget this. I was a freshman, and I was in my intro to sociology class 101, and I was sitting in the front row, and I wear a badge necklace around my neck every single day. I never take it off. And we had a female professor talking about how you're more likely to die being a taxi or an Uber driver than you are being a police officer. And it frustrated me, and I don't always have the most patience, so I got up respectfully, picked up my backpack, and I walked out of the classroom and I cried. Because I was so discouraged at how disgusting that it sounded. And after the class, I emailed the professor expressing my frustration and the experiences that I've been through. And she called me into her office a week later, apologizing after I dropped the class into a different class, and said how she was so sorry and she wishes she knew, and how it made her think a lot more about how you don't know what someone's gone through. And so I think that was very eye-opening for me.
I think that's important because learning occurs inside and outside the classroom, right? And it sounds like you both learned a little bit from that. Declan, let me throw that same one at you. How important can a professor be?
I think a professor or teacher can definitely make or break your experience with the class and just with college in general. So far, I have had great experiences. Both of my professors at Bucks have been awesome. They've been super interactive and cool. As far as for Beth goes, that is honestly quite an interesting story. So I think that really just goes to show how much a professor can really affect your experience in college and just your perspective on whatever you may be studying as well.
All right, so have any of your professors discouraged you from your career path?
Yes.
And you?
Not for me.
No?
Not yet.
Yeah,
no.
So you can see that you're having two different parallels there. Beth, you started a club at college, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that club and why you started it?
Yeah, so I started a club called Walk the Blue Line. The name is actually inspired by a book I read called Walk the Blue Line, which you should definitely read. It has a lot of different police stories and such in it, and it was so motivating to me that that's why I named the club after it. But I basically started this club as a criminal justice-based club where I bring in different guest speakers and do monthly panels with all the members in my club. And it's the objective of the club to me was to bridge law enforcement with the people at my college going to a liberal arts college who doesn't have a true criminal justice major. And so I've had a few very awesome guests who come in. They bring slideshows about basically what they do on the daily, cool events that they've done, their favorite forms of community policing, and I've even had members of my club ask me for the mentors' emails to reach out and just thank them and say how much of an impact that they've made on them. So I've even had people who have no interest in studying this, like an art major or a music major or a teaching major, just because it's just so interesting and it's never something that they grew up with. And to be able to give someone that opportunity, I think, is really important.
That's a good point to have the people not even interested in this as a career attend, because I think everyone can learn a lot about policing, right? It's one of those careers that a lot of people think they know a lot about it, but when you get it, every time you get a little bit closer to it, you understand you might not know as much as you think. Declan, you've played competitive sports in school. Can you tell us a little bit about those competitions and how those sports programs have prepared you to pursue a life in law enforcement?
I think sports are good for kids. People that want to pursue a career in law enforcement as well, just because it helps build a sense of community, as well as being a police officer, you obviously have partners, people that you work with, and it's really important to know how to work with those people. You have to be on the same page as everybody that you work with, especially, like I said, being a cop, because your partner, especially when you get on scene to any sort of situation. I think it's super crucial to be on the same page as your partner and to build a good bond. And I think playing sports really helps teach you how to build a bond with people, whether or not you like them or not, and who they are. You, to achieve a common goal, you have to be able to build a bond and work together to achieve your common goal.
Well said, Declan. Beth, you play Division III field hockey for your school. What skills will you take from that level of competition into your career goals?
So I'm actually in a pretty interesting position. I'm the goalie on my field hockey team, and I think the most important thing is staying calm under pressure. The 10 girls in front of me read my body language and everything I do, and they react off of that. So I think just reading what's happening, reacting quickly but calmly, and moving on to the next play. You got to always be ready.
You both work, which I find admirable, especially in college. Some university students do not, but you both work, and I know you both work hard. I've seen you both at work. So, Declan, let's start with you. I know you're in the restaurant industry right now,
yeah,
which can be, in my opinion, an extremely important experience for what your career aspirations are. Tell me how, what you've learned there, right? Mm-hmm. And tell me what those lessons will do for you going forward.
I was going to agree. I think I'm extremely glad I picked up this this job as a server and or a bartender as well, because I think, like we talked about earlier, I think community policing is so important right now, especially with today's climate. And I think learning, like, the root of community policing is learning how to talk to people, and learning how to just how to build connections with people. And being in the restaurant industry, people are not at all afraid to tell you how they feel, whether that's good or bad.
No, it's true, right?
Yep, and they will tell you right to your face, and there's not a thing you can do about it. So I think learning discipline and just learning how to hold your tongue is extremely important, especially just like we were talking about in this field. You don't always have the right to having a bad day. Same thing with being a server and or a bartender. You don't have the right to being a bad day. You have to sit there in front of these people and do your job the same way as if you were having the best day of your life. So that definitely helps to get me prepared for those kind of situations.
I couldn't agree with you more. And Beth, on your end, you currently work in a liquor store.
Yeah, so I do work at a liquor store, and I think that this job has helped me immensely. I've had a few couple jobs. I've been a waitress. I've worked at an ice cream place and so on. But we a lot of times get people in some of their darkest days, and I think it's very sad. We see a lot of people who come in with problems, and we see problems progress. But I think the most important thing working at a liquor store that's going to help me is reading body language, reading conflict, knowing how to manage conflict, knowing when to step in, knowing when to listen, knowing when to get your superior, knowing when it's outside your pay grade. Just things like that are just very important, especially when someone is under the influence of some kind of substance. You don't want to mess with that. You want to read the situation very appropriately and then act from there.
So you're both of the age, right? You're both young adults. You both probably have seen addiction, you know, and Beth working at the liquor store made me think of this. You've probably seen the adverse effects of addiction even at your age of in friends and people you care about. What can a police officer do to assist with that? And I don't need to break it to either one of you. You grew up in this life. But to people who are aspiring to be police officers that don't have family or friends that do this, I try and tell them, making arrests is a very small amount of what we do, right? You guys both know that. Mm-hmm. Assisting people in their darkest hours is what we do most. How do you think policing could be more impactful on addiction recovery than we're doing right now?
I think we talked about empathy earlier, mm-hmm. and I think that plays a big role in it. I think a lot of times with people that have problems, we kind of just push them to the side and say, oh, well, they did it to themselves. And while that might be true, I mean, that doesn't mean that people don't deserve help and that people don't deserve to be treated like humans. I think that seeing a person with a problem is just more of a reason why you should want to help them even more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think since working at the liquor store, the biggest thing that I've taken away from it, which I think will really help me one day, is I don't look at addiction as a problem. Addiction is a disease. And a lot of times people are born with addictive personalities, and there's so many things that go behind it. A lot of times people suffer an unfair amount of traumas in their lifetime that they shouldn't. And so they look because maybe they don't know that there's other options. So, you know, you have a drink one day and then it turns into multiple and then it turns into every day. And I think the only way to have them almost snap out of it in a way is to have help. So I think police officers can really come into play for this and saying, no, you're not in trouble. I'm here to help you.
I agree with both of you on this. And, you know, for your age, it's refreshing to hear how insightful you both see this issue, because it's going to be a big part of what you do when you get out on the street. With that, let's take our last break, and then we'll get into some final thoughts here on WBCB and Bucks Blue.
Insurance can be very confusing and costly. That's why it's very important to choose the right insurance agency. Nottingham Insurance in Yardley and Hamilton is a fourth-generation family-owned insurance agency with over 100 years of experience. They'll find the best policy for maximum protection at the best price. Homeowners, business, life, auto, even flood insurance. Peter Toft at Nottingham Insurance will make getting your policies, including flood insurance, an easy and affordable process. Nottingham Insurance in Yardley and Hamilton. Visit nottinghaminsurance.com or call Peter Toft directly at 215-493-1996, extension 214. That's 215-493-1996. Extension 214.
Capital Health's primary care network continues to grow, bringing its extensive option of locations to your neighborhood. Whether you're scheduling a wellness checkup or not feeling well, advanced medicine starts with a Capital Health primary care doctor at locations near you in Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties. To find a Capital Health primary care location that's convenient for you, visit capitalmedicalgroup.org. That's capitalmedicalgroup.org.
With over 7,200 square feet of 200 brewers in stock at all times, Pantheon Beverages now features 5 different flavors of their favorite slushy cocktails. You can also purchase all your wine, liquor, and other fine spirits right next door. Visit us on Facebook or online at pantheonbeverages.com for upcoming events and samples from your favorite brewery or local food vendor.
We now return to Bucks Blue with Lower Makefield Police Chief Joe Kelly, brought to you by Jammer Doors.
And welcome back to Bucks Blue, July 2025, WBCB, 1490 AM, 107.3 FM. And we're in studio with Declan McIntyre and Beth Kelly, college students who are aspiring to be police officers. And we're talking about some of their experiences thus far and some of their preparations. So let's continue along with that. Beth, you're doing an internship right now. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so right now I'm interning this summer with PPAC and Gladstone Police Department, and I love it. And basically what I do is I go in once a week, and I almost participate in like a makeshift FTO training period.
Okay.
So my two training officers are Officer Luke Tamborello and Officer Nicole Konashigi. And we
Can you repeat that officer's last name again?
Konashigi.
Okay.
Previously known as Nicole Horn.
Okay.
And I basically call myself a minion, because what I do is I observe everything from how they get out of the car, how they park the car, how they talk to people. And it's very insightful, because no matter what you learn in school, the book doesn't tell you how to interact.
Mm-hmm.
The book doesn't show you how you're supposed to speak and how you're not supposed to speak. So I think this is something that's going to set me up for success by learning it a lot earlier than when I'm actually in my FTO training period.
And do you think they're listening today, PPAC and Gladstone Police Chief Ferranti and his staff?
Hope so.
Declan, are you seeking out any type of
hands-on experiences that we need to know about?
As far as hands-on stuff goes right now, not at the moment. I plan on, after summer, trying to do some ride-alongs at some point. That's something my dad has always told me would probably be a good idea as I get older. And that program actually sounds really interesting, so that's definitely something that I think I would like to try and take up. I do have a little bit of time, but I definitely would like to try and take that up. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Coming back at you, Declan, you have a hobby that should be useful.
Mm-hmm. I do.
In policing. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I started training Muay Thai in October, and it's been great so far for me. I love it. I've always loved fighting. I don't know how that sounds, but
that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, exactly. But it's been awesome to learn how to defend myself, and it's also great as a sport. It keeps you in shape, and it's just great to learn how to defend yourself. I think everybody should take some sort of martial art at some point. I think Muay Thai is the way to go, but I might be a little bit biased. I also take it really seriously now because I plan on, or one of my biggest goals in the future is to try and find a way to incorporate some sort of martial arts into police work. I feel like right now a lot of cops lack hands-on hands-on tactics. I feel like that's kind of overlooked in police training. I could be wrong, but from what I understand, I feel like that's pretty overlooked, and I think that's a problem because I think with a lot of the interactions that you go through, I think knowing how to use your hands is extremely important, especially because, you know, the first instinct shouldn't be to reach for the gun or the taser or even the pepper spray. I mean, ideally, it's knowing how to subdue people and keep them safe while, you know, being able to put handcuffs on them. So I take it really seriously now.
And Beth, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's really awesome. And I actually had a female officer, Julia Blaha from New Jersey Transit Police, come to my Walk the Blue Line Club. And she is a female on the smaller side. And a lot of times as a female, you look at a very much larger woman or man and you're like, how am I approaching the situation? Her biggest advice to any woman or man going into law enforcement was to join jiu-jitsu, which is a fighting technique where you are able to find ways to take down someone almost two or three times your size. So that's something I definitely want to get into.
Declan, what are you doing to prepare for, and I know it's not imminent, right, where you're entering the business, but you're progressing towards it. So, and I'm going to pose this to both of you. What are you doing to prepare for the job in terms of, I mean, physicality you spoke about just now, but what are you doing we spoke about college, I guess. What else are you doing besides that, if anything?
I would say the biggest things I'm doing is my training for the most part, and I'm just trying to build I'm trying to stay as on schedule as possible, if that makes sense. I'm trying to like stay busy and keep myself focused on my goal with staying in school, working as much as possible, staying in the gym, and continuing my training. Like I said, I do also plan on trying to hopefully sometime after summer start doing ride-alongs and just trying to prepare my mind too, because I think being mentally prepared is just as important as being physically prepared too.
And we spoke a lot about that in class, right? I mean, the mental preparation for what you're about to go into is astronomical, right? You're gonna, and you grew up around this, but there is no better profession in terms of, and we spoke a lot about that in class too, in terms of reward.
I agree.
The reward you take when you can truly help is phenomenal. So Beth, talk about your preparations a little bit. You heard what Declan said. Is there anything additional that you're doing to prepare yourself?
No, so I'm working out too, and I obviously go to school, and being a student athlete, I'm used to the very busy schedule with very little downtime and basically just sleeping on my breaks, so that's not really an issue for me. But something I have been thinking about a lot is the mental standpoint behind a police officer, because like, if you break your arm, you have a cast and it's very visible, but just because you can't see that there's something mentally wrong doesn't mean it's not there. And I think for me, I'm not super worried because I have three people in my family who all go through very similar things. You being a police chief, my mother being a police secretary, and my brother being a police officer. I don't I think the scary part is not knowing how I'm going to react in those first couple of traumatic situations, but I'm happy to have a support system behind me that understands that I'm able to talk those struggles through, so, yeah.
There's, I think, between 17 and 18,000 police departments in this country. I understand that Pennsylvania has the most police departments of the entire country for one state. That means they come in all shapes, all sizes, all types, right? And even outside of the municipalities, you have specialized police departments and specialized law enforcement agencies. Declan, tell me what type of police department you think would be best for you in terms of size, scope, values, et cetera.
I think that's a little bit of a hard question for me to answer just because I haven't really gotten to the field yet. I think once I'm there, I'll probably understand that a little bit better. I do know that I want to stay in this area. I know this area like the back of my hand, and it's my home, and I care about this place. I care about Bucks County. So I hope to be somewhere like Lower Makefield, Middletown, one of those areas, hopefully in the near future.
You must have had a good teacher in school.
Yeah,
because
I
you answered that thing. You answered that thing correctly. You put number one where number one should be.
Exactly.
Now, Beth, because Declan made it a hard hill to climb. Tell us about what type of police department you think would be a good fit for you.
Size-wise, I definitely think I want to stay small to medium-sized. I think it's a lot more close-knit of a family and feeling like it's your actual brothers and sisters. I've always kind of been into the small feel. I go to a small school now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really swayed my decision a lot just because I love how it is. But I'm not quite sure where I'm going to end up. Maybe Lower Makefield, Dad?
No, that's not going to happen.
Okay, well, maybe.
That worked for Declan. That one's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
I got a little easier, I guess.
I'm going back and forth between New Jersey and Pennsylvania, but we'll see where the cards lie.
Let's get in terms of supervision. Tell me what type of supervisor you think you would thrive under. What the personality of that supervisor would be.
You.
Well, that was easy.
That was a good answer. I think as a supervisor, it's important to listen to the people that you're supervising. I think it's important to take into account their opinions and to not get a big head. And just, like I said, to really take into consideration the opinions of those that you're supervising, because since you've been charged with them, it's important to, you know, consider their feelings.
Yeah, I agree. I was joking, but I really wasn't joking. I think a really big thing for me is, like, inclusiveness and, like, trying to include everyone and not looking down on people just because maybe they're below you in rank or they don't have as many years on. It doesn't make them any less of a person or a cop in this sense, and I think something that you take pride in is trying to include everyone. It's something that I really admire, so I think that's one of my big things, is just the underlying respect.
Perfect answer. How do you envision using your voice to positively impact law enforcement? We're going through so much change right now, right? There's an old saying, this is not your father's police department, and it's not going to be when you two arrive, right? Things are rapidly changing in terms of technology, in terms of law and impact of decisions and community expectations and all of that, right? But policing is changing, and it's changing for the better. How do you think you can impact policing? What skills do you specifically bring that will help policing?
I think a skill that I have is I love to learn. I'm a lifelong learner. So when you graduate college,
I love when a 20-year-old says lifelong.
No, I mean in the future. In
you
the
got
future.
That, Steven?
In the future. I think a lot of the problems now, in all seriousness, is that you get the degree, you graduate the police academy, that's it. No, you need to sign up for classes. You need to learn from the people around you, older and younger. You need to take into account everything that's happening. I think the most important thing is just, like, continuing to challenge your brain. And, like, a lot of problems are, no offense to you, but older cops are the problems. They don't want to adapt to the new ways of law enforcement. Law enforcement's changing, and you need to, too.
Declan.
I agree with everything that Beth said. The one thing that I think, one of the ways I plan on using my voice, like I said, is with the Muay Thai training and introducing martial arts to police work. I'm pretty firm in that. I really hope that as time goes on, that I can kind of be able to accept that role and maybe be able to teach wherever I may be at. I hope to be able to teach my peers, teach the cops around me, because I think that's a skill that I have, and I'm lucky enough to have started it decently young, to the point where when I turn 21 and when I start applying, I'll already have about 3 years under my belt. So that's one of the ways I hope to plan on using my voice as time goes on.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming on Bucks Blue, and I want to say to our listeners that if Beth and Declan are a representative sample of our population of future police officers, the future of our profession is strong. The future of our profession is sound. With that, if you could stand by, and we will, our next show will be Yardley Borough on Air with Mayor Chris Harding, and we will be back next month with our guest Steve Markle, the Blue Shark.
Thanks for having
me. Air with Mayor Chris Harding, and we will be back next month with our guest Steve Markle, the Blue Shark.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Chief.